Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. It may take several days before all 35 bodies of crewmen who died aboard the USS Stark are identified at an army mortuary at Frankfurt, West Germany. Two other victims remain lost in the Persian Gulf. Meanwhile, plans are going ahead for President Reagan to lead a memorial service tomorrow at the frigate's Mayport, Florida home port. And the U.S. is stepping up pressure on Iraq for answers to its Sunday missile attack. Our coverage begins with White House correspondent Terrence Smith.
The Reagan administration is continuing to press Iraq for more details about exactly what caused Sunday's attack on the USS Stark. In a toughly worded speech in Washington last night, Defense Secretary Weinberger called on Iraq to produce the pilot of the attacking aircraft.
I feel the Iraqis should bring forth that pilot and have him detail the events leading to the missile firing or firings, because we still don't know all the facts, and tell us specifically what type of missile was fired, what were the tactics he used, and why he did that.
Controversy over the attack has complicated the administration's plans to sell F-15 replacement jets to Saudi Arabia. Two senators have criticized the Saudis for not intercepting the Iraqi plane after it was spotted by AWACS aircraft operating over Saudi Arabian territory. As the debate over policy continues in Washington, the investigation into the attack is proceeding in Bahrain, where correspondent Alan Pizzi filed this report.
The Stark was equipped with a phalanx gun system that should have been able to shoot down the missiles close to the ship. But Captain Glenn Brindell said the first missile came in without warning and knocked out combat controls. The second hit about 30 seconds later.
We know that one missile was an Exocet missile. We're not sure what the second missile was.
Determining that will be part of the job of a board of inquiry that has started work amid the debris of the crew quarters of the Stark that took the brunt of the missile blast. The widow of one of the victims has sent a Bible to the Iraqi pilot as a gesture of forgiveness. But the ship's captain had a slightly different view.
I'm irate at the Iraqi government for the fact that they would send their pilots out to fire on targets without identifying those targets. But that's basically what happened.
The next time one of the six U.S. warships still patrolling the Gulf detects hostile intent, they may well shoot first. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Bahrain.
Two Stark crewmen are now being treated at a military burn center in San Antonio, as we hear from Joe Sandoval of WOAI.
They arrived at the Brooke Army Medical Center aboard an Army bus ambulance. Petty Officer 3rd Class James Wheeler of El Paso, Petty Officer 3rd Class Lawrence Bearford of Virginia. Center spokesman Ray Jerry says doctors worked throughout the night to stabilize their condition.
The first thing will be to continue their fluid resuscitation, which means replacing the fluids that they might have lost through the burns.
Jerry says their condition is listed as critical, both men suffering burns over 40% of their bodies. Joe Sandoval for CBS News, San Antonio.
The Soviet Foreign Ministry today fired a strong protest at the United States, claiming the nuclear-powered U.S. cruiser Arkansas has violated Soviet territorial waters off the Kamchatka Peninsula for the second time since Sunday. A spokesman said in Moscow the alleged intrusion was premeditated and provocative and warned of, quote, serious consequences if it happens again. The joint congressional investigation into the Iran-Contra affair today continues its journey down the winding trail of money, weapons, and secret alliances in and out of the White House. Deborah Potter reviews yesterday's testimony.
The committee heard from both ends of the Contra funding pipeline and found out it flowed both ways. Contra leader Adolfo Calero provided records showing that Oliver North cashed some $2,400 in traveler's checks from Calero, spending money at a grocery store, a dry cleaner's, even buying snow tires. His records also showed the Contras received $32 million from Saudi Arabia. Retired General John Singlob said he tried to solicit funds from Asian countries, but Assistant Secretary of State Elliot Abrams told him not to bother.
He indicated that the reason that I was not to make the solicitation is that it was going to be handled by someone at the highest level, which I assumed to mean someone in the White House.
Singlob said he never made any secret of his support for the Contras, and neither did the three wealthy Americans who will testify along with Singlob when the hearing resumes today. Deborah Potter, CBS News on Capitol Hill.
When retired Major General Richard Secord testified, he indicated he would open up his Swiss bank records. But now he's gone to the Swiss Supreme Court to keep them secret from U.S. investigators. A Navy A-6E attack plane crashed last night on a wooded bombing range on North Carolina's Outer Banks. Rescue workers reached the scene early today, but there's no word on the fate of the two-man crew who were based at Oceana Naval Air Station in Virginia. Six Pershing II missiles were successfully test-fired overnight from Cape Canaveral by GIs based in West Germany and who were simulating battlefield conditions. The dummy warhead splashed down in the Atlantic test range. The Israeli army is blaming Arab guerrillas for the death of an 8-year-old Israeli boy whose body was found early today in a cave near his home in a West Bank settlement. The boy's skull apparently was crushed with a rock. A week after Fiji's bloodless military coup, there was cause for celebration today by ethnic Fijians. But ethnic Indians, who constitute a majority and who dominated the ousted government, are hiding behind locked doors after yesterday's anti-Indian street violence. Today, Fiji's Great Council of Chiefs met for a second day, and an army spokesman said a compromise is nearly complete. In the capital of Suva, Australian newsman Robert Kinney says talk of a complete break with Great Britain has died down.
At one stage, talk of Fiji becoming a republic was very strong. That has now been alleviated with a compromise decision worked out by the Great Council of Chiefs and agreed to by the Governor-General. Lieutenant Colonel Sitavani Rambuka, the man who led the coup, will be in charge of Fiji until fresh elections can be called.
And an army spokesman said today those elections will take place in 5.5 to 6 months. Soviet and Chinese intelligence officers based in Japan apparently paid over $700,000 for U.S. military secrets, including detailed specs for the F-16 fighter. More from correspondent Barry Peterson.
Questioning began today of four Japanese men suspected of selling American secrets to a Russian believed working for the KGB amid controversy over why the Russian was allowed to escape. The Japanese men may have passed to the Russians technical manuals for American F-16s and F-100s, planes based in Japan. One of the four worked as a librarian at the American Air Base where such manuals were available. The Russian was an official of the Soviet Trade Representative Office and had no diplomatic immunity. He was caught as the handoff was about to take place in a Tokyo park. But Japanese police politely released him without even questioning him, and Russian authorities hustled the man onto the next flight to Moscow. Hours after the plane left, an arrest warrant was finally issued. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Tokyo.
A gasoline truck blew up in Christian East Beirut today, killing one person and injuring two. One report said a bomb was hidden inside. The dollar is higher today in overseas trading. Gold bullion, after hitting a 4-year high yesterday, is back in the $468 range, down over $6. And on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is up nearly 24 points at 2239.80. Big board volume over 28 million shares. Time on the World News Roundup, 10 minutes past 7.